So.
So I took the cue from Karen. She likes to be down here, and I thought, you know what? So do I. So I don't want to be up there. So I thought I would roll this down here where we're at, and I like to be among you when we're doing this because, you know, this is family, and we do life together in the Lord. So I like to be down here where you're at. I feel like that's like the tower. I don't want to be banished to the tower. So if we could open in prayer before I get started. And you know, my style is a little different than my husband's, so just hang with me anyway. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all of your blessings. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to touch us this morning through your word. Help us to have the ears to hear, the eyes to see, the hearts to receive. May my words be your words and not my own. And we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't noticed, the theme today that the Lord has is he's a good God. And he's good. And what he has for us is good. And if you've noticed, that's up there for a reason. And that's because the Lord wants you to see that every week when you come in. If you come in with a bad week, you've come in and things aren't going that great, make a mental note to look up there and read that. Because he has good plans for you, not bad plans for you. So let's turn to that scripture. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there, please. I'm going to pull this one out. This one is the parallel Bible, so it's got two or three versions. I'll read the Amplified, and hopefully that one goes along with it. If not, just bear with me. Okay. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. One more time. For I know that the thoughts, he's thinking about you. He's got plans for you. It's not haphazard what's going on and how he directs you. He has a plan. And he has it for you. He doesn't leave anybody out. For welfare and peace and not for evil. He's not planning evil against you. So who does that? Satan does that. So God's plans for you are good plans. And he's got them plotted out for you to get you where he needs you to be. So you can trust him with your life. So if you're afraid, oh, if I totally surrender to the Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to me. Good things are going to happen to you, not bad things. You know, the enemy wants you to think that if you give your heart to the Lord and you totally surrender to him, that my life's going to be boring. I'm not going to have anything. I'm going to be no friends. No. What's it say? I have plans for you, and they're good plans. They're not plans like the enemy has, but they're good plans. So mark that. Put that marker in your life that when things get rough, that you go back to that and you say, this is what God says. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter if people say what people say about me, because this is what God is saying. And what he says matters, and what others say do not matter. Because people are going to talk about you. Because the enemy is the father of that. Doesn't he get there? You remember years ago when they had those little cartoons and they had the little devil on one side and the little angel on the other? It's a good illustration, because the enemy tries to do this, and he's always talking. But it's always. So you can't listen. You have to become deaf to what he says. But you have to open your ears up to what the Holy Spirit says. And the word of God is living. It's not dead. We serve a living God, not a dead God. The other people and the other religions who don't serve Jesus, they serve dead gods. They're books, so don't read them. Because you're reading dead stuff. You want to read the living hope of Jesus. And that's the word. So that's what we stand on. That's what we listen to. And that's what we set our lives on. That's our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. And from that, we step onto that. And then he keeps building up from there. But that other stuff is totally dead. And it will bring death. Let me get to my notes, sorry. I haven't got there yet. So, what's your story? Do you have a beginning with the Lord? Because you need that starting point. We just talked about the foundation. What happens if you build a house out here on all this sand, and you don't put a foundation, and the storms start coming? It doesn't have to be a flood. What happens when you pile up a big old thing of sand at the beach, and the water comes up? It just washes back out and flattens it back out. So your foundation has to be on Jesus. From there, when the storms come, and they will come, because we live in a fallen world. We don't live in heaven yet. They will come. When they do, you have to be rooted and grounded in Christ, because he's a good God and he wants good things for you. And all the things that are going on in the world that are bad, they didn't start with him. They didn't start with him. What were the beginning plans God had for mankind? Let's do a little history here today. But where did he place them? He put them in the garden. Did he put them in a place that had no food, no water, no provisions, no communication with God? No. It was a perfect place, because that's his plans for you. Good things, not bad things. The reason why bad things happened, let's go to Genesis 3 and let's read it so we can get exactly what it was that was set. I wasn't planning on reading this, but we'll read it. This is the more than one translation, so it's got a lot. It's a thick Bible. I'm going to read in the New International Version. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They are in the garden. They weren't out in the desert. Their provisions were there. The food was there. God came and met with them and talked with them. There was fellowship and a relationship with God, because that's what he intended. This is the way he set it up. And it says, and they hid from the Lord. Why did they do that? Because Satan had talked them, just the chapter before, Satan talked them into eating what God told them not to eat. First Eve ate it, then she gave it to Adam. And then after that happened, what did they start doing? They started hiding. The separation had began. The separation between God and us began in the garden. It wasn't like that. That's that wasn't God's plan. But that was Satan's plan. And Jesus came to fix that. So don't stay in the plans of the enemy. Let God work in your life, his good plan, his great plan, far beyond what you can think. Can you? I don't think we can even think about what that garden looked like and the relationship and the fellowship they had. But when he started hiding, what is it? If we go down a little bit farther, it says, he said, "Where are you?" He's talking to Adam and to Eve. And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid." First place where fear starts. Doesn't start with God. It starts with Satan and sin. God is good God. He's not. And we sang a song, and Karen, I thought Karen was going to start preaching somebody, don't be afraid. You know, right now, everybody's talking about the coronavirus, and everybody's afraid of it. Don't be afraid. Your God is a good God. He's a big God. If you get it, he can get you through it. He's gotten you through other things, hasn't he? Won't he get you through that? If you pass away, where are you going? What are you afraid of? If you don't know Jesus, you better be afraid. But if you know Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Because really, we don't die. You weren't meant to live for 70 years. You were meant to be eternal. You're meant to live forever. So this is not your home. You finally get that flight home. You know, you've been waiting for it at the airport, and you're waiting, and, you know, they keep delaying. You finally don't get the delay anymore. You finally go home. I know if you've been traveling for a long time, you're like, oh, when you finally get home and get in your own bed, you're like, oh, this feels so good to be in my own bed again. You will finally be home. And you'll feel home. And you'll feel loved. Sometimes we forget how much he loves us. You are important. So important that he let his only son come and be abused, tortured. You know, we talk about the things that happened on the cross. But before he got to the cross, they weren't nice to him. They tortured him. And then he went to the cross. But he did it for you. You know, we talk about the world, but it's, you know, and that can be like a general thing, and it's just kind of a blanket statement. But he came for you. He died for you. Because he didn't want you to have to go through that. Because if you go to hell, you're going to be tortured and tormented. And you don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there. God doesn't want you to go there. That's why Jesus came. So you could have life and have it more abundantly. God didn't come for you to have a horrible life. He didn't come for that. He's the King of Kings, and he calls you his children. So who are you? That's right. That's who you are. So don't live below your means. Have you ever heard of those people where, you know, they have millions of dollars and nobody knew it, and they were living in a little basement apartment in a little old, like, 50-year-old mattress and, you know, clothes that they've had for 40 years, and everybody was totally stunned when they found out they could have lived a much better life. They could have shared that. If they didn't want to live that way, they could have shared it with those who didn't have. They could have given and encouraged somebody else. Don't live below your means. Don't live below your means spiritually. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I think sometimes we forget who we are. God wants you to remember today that you are blessed. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be encouraged. And then he wants you to go and get somebody else who's discouraged and encourage them. You're on your way to heaven if you know Jesus. If you don't, today is the day to make that right. There's no reason for you to go one more day without Jesus. Don't you wish, those of you who came to know Christ later in life, don't you wish you would have did that a lot earlier? How much baggage did the Lord have to undo? That's why we have children's ministries. We're trying to get them to know the Lord when they're young so that we keep them from going off on these desert trails that are horrible, and then the Lord rescues them, and then he has to undo all the stuff that the enemy's done in their life. Let me get back to my notes. If you're afraid, don't be. And you're saying, well, that's easier for you to say than it is for me to do it. And I understand that. Get into the Word and find, even if it's one scripture that you stand on and you apply every day, and you write it on a little piece of paper, and you carry it with you. Everywhere you go, you keep reading it, and you keep reading it until that gets in here and then gets down in here. Because when you get it in here, it changes the way you walk, talk, and think. Because the enemy is the one who wants you to be afraid. Because fear, normal fear, if I step out in that freeway when there's a truck coming, I'm going to get hit. So I'm not going to do that. But that's normal. But the kind of fear that the enemy brings is a spirit of fear. And it is a spirit. It will try to control you and bring you in bondage. And the bondage is to keep you from doing and living life. People who can't go out of their house. What a horrible thing. People who don't, they want to go do it, and they go, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. They try and walk the other way. They walk all the way. And it makes me think about dogs. Sometimes I have to really work on that one, because when I'm taking a walk or something, it's like, oh, I see a dog up there. Okay, I'm not going that way. I'm turning around going the other way. But I don't want to get bit, so there is some you know, logic to that. But if it becomes so debilitating that I can't go for a walk or I can't do anything, then that becomes a bondage. And that's not what God has for us. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. And this is in the New King James. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power and love and a sound mind. Satan says, be afraid. God says, be confident in him. Be confident in his goodness for you. Be confident in his thoughts and actions towards you, that they are good and not evil. God's not sitting up there waiting for you to mess up so he can smack you on the head with a bat. You know, you used to hear people say, oh, you better pray over that food or you're going to get sick. That's not God. That's not God. We pray because we want to be thankful, and we want to be grateful for what he's done for us and given us. We want to have grateful hearts, and that's why we pray and bless our food. We want it to be blessed to our bodies, and we want to thank him for giving it to us. Not that if you don't, he's going to smack you with some disease. Yeah. I know people who say that. And Jesus' evidence on the cross and his resurrection is the evidence of paying the price of dying for you and then living. So God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. So wherever he is, there's life. Wherever he goes, he's going to produce life. You have Jesus in you. Wherever you go, you should be producing life. Life. Fruit that others can receive. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. There's all the fruit. It should be life. Where the river goes, there's water, there's life. You have that river flowing out of you. So where you go, there should be life, not death. So death is not God. That was not his plan. He made an alternate plan to get you to heaven, to bypass what Satan did. And Jesus was that cross between the great divides. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, not the land of the dead. We're not walking in death. We're walking in life. Walk out the plant, walk it out. If I were to just sat over here and never got up and went up here, I couldn't be giving you what God has put in me. You have stuff that he's put in you too, and he's asking you to walk it out, to go somewhere and give it to somebody else so that they aren't hungry, they aren't thirsty. And maybe one of your brothers and sisters is discouraged, but you have a word of hope to encourage them. That's our job as Christians, is to encourage each other. That's why we need to be in church as much as possible. Because it's not just so you can be encouraged, you need to be here, and that's true. But what about the other people that miss you when you're not here? They're missing the word you have. They're missing your smile, your handshake, your hug, your concern. If you're not here, you may be the person they connect with that day, and you didn't show up that day. So they go back home. It's like a little kid who doesn't get the right vitamins. You know, they start having some issues physically when they're growing. So as we're growing in Christ, we need each other. I need you and you need me. And we need each other. And that's why Satan wants you to stay home. So he can isolate you, keep you home, and keep you from growing. And somebody else may be not growing because you're not here. And maybe you're the foot. And I got to take the hand has to come down and take your place. They can fill that spot for a while, but it's not ideal. When we were in Sacramento, I was in the choir. I'm not a soloist by any stretch of the means. Ask my husband, my voice is not that great at all. But I can, like, stay in my range. You put me by somebody who can stay on. I'm a follower. So whoever I'm next to, I have to be careful. I have to try and, if they're really off, I have to really work at not going off. But I used to be by Jackie. And Jackie and has been raised in church doing music. She plays the piano. They sing. They do all kinds of. And so I would be next to her. And I asked the Lord one time, Lord, why am I in the choir? You know, this is a mega choir. I mean, this is a huge mass choir. Why am I in the choir? They all pretty much can sing. There's some that are professional quality, and there are others that were just good. And he said, because you were willing. Sometimes we just have to be willing. And maybe you fill that spot till God brings the right person in. Maybe we don't even have a foot here, a right foot. And so you fill that till he brings that person in. And then he moves you to the next spot for you to do
what he's called you to do. Or maybe you're in training for ministry and he's moving you to every spot because you need to know how it works and what it looks like. You can't lead a church if you only know how to preach. You don't know about children's ministries. You don't know how to administrate. You know, because you have to have an administrator or things don't stay on track. You know, that means somebody who can let go of some things. You need to know how to clean the toilets. You need to learn how to wash windows. You need to learn how to let somebody else do it, even if you can do it better. And I'll have to tell you, that's a hard one for me. If I know how to do it and somebody else does it, it's hard to watch. But but sometimes you have to just let them do it anyway. I think there are people in this congregation today that God has leadership or pastoral positions in your future, and you need to be willing to do wherever he puts you. I've cleaned churches before. I did it for a while when we were in Kelseyville, in Lakeport area. My husband did it as a teenager. He cleaned the church. I've preschool. I've did nursery. I started teaching children's church when I was 19. I've been in the choir. I've worked in a mega church in the admin part. I've not because of anything that special about me. I'm just your average, ordinary person, just like anybody else. But God moved us, or God, because we needed to know how to do those things. And for you, what is God saying to you that you need to know? And you're questioning why you keep feeling this draw to this one area, and it's really not your gift. Maybe you just need to know how to do it for a little while and help out or fill in until somebody else comes in. Or maybe he's got other stuff for you to do and you need to know how to do it. I heard some of the young people talking earlier today, and they were talking about if they could go back and start over, where would they go back? And I said, I'd go back to high school. Knowing what I know now, you know, what would I do differently? If you could go back 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years before and change some things, what would you change? If you've been with Jesus the whole time and you've been following him, doesn't matter what your past looked like, God knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He still knows what he's doing. He still has a purpose and a plan that's good for you. Read the last chapter of Revelation. You know, we always, when we start preaching, sometimes they don't want to tell you what our main point is till we get to the end. God tells you what it is. The main point at the end is that you go to heaven, that he has plans for you. And it's not horrible plans. How many of us are living way below our means? I want to come back to that point because I don't want you living there. I want you to live where God has the best for you. When you're praying, don't pray for just to get by. Pray for the best. You're asking for a job, don't ask for just a job. Ask for a good job. Not just a job, a good job. Good hours, good pay. You're looking for a house, you want a good house. You're looking for a car, you want a good car. You know, God, you want the good, you don't want the, have you seen that commercial where they go, oh, well, he's just okay. And the surgeon walks in, and the guy looks at him, and the nurse is like, oh, he's okay. It's like, do you want someone doing surgery on you that's just okay? No, no. You want the best. I want the best if someone's cutting on me. Your whole life is in front of you still. It could be decades before the Lord comes back. It could be in a minute. You don't know. You could step out today, and this could be your last church service. Or you could come back for months, years. Only He knows the day and the hour. We had a tragedy in our city. Nobody knew that day that was going to happen. What would have been if we'd have planned for that? What would have been a different outcome? We'd have closed that building that day. God knows the plans for you that are good. And He goes ahead of you. And He's taking care of the fire insurance with Jesus. You don't have to be afraid, but you need to be prepared and ready. Bible says it was two at the mill. One was taken, the other one was left. And if you go back and read about the demoniac that had, you know, the legion of demons, that was God went that, Jesus went that day for him. But if there's two translations, I mean two books, one says there was one, and the one in Mark talks about there were two. But if you read that story, it only talks about the one who wanted to go with Jesus when he was delivered. Remember that? He says, I want to go with you. It's like, don't leave me here. You don't know how he got that way. I don't know what those people were like in that area. Maybe he didn't want to live there anymore after he was delivered, because he knows what that area was like. And Jesus said, no, go back to your people and tell them. There were two there too. Only one does the word talk about after that moment. Were there two delivered? Did the other guy submit? Or did the other guy just go back to the tombs? Two were taken and one was left. You be the one today that says, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to him. I'm not living in the, it says that they lived in the tombs. God never meant for you to live at the gravesite. You are alive in Christ. You are alive. I think we forget people who don't know Christ are dead. They're walking dead people. They're walking dead. But you're not. You are walking, living, and breathing with Christ in your heart. So make today a decision today that you're going to walk in life. You're not going to stay in it. And if things get rough, you go back to the Word, because it will help you through it. And because He has good plans for you. And if you quit too soon and give up, it may be tomorrow. Your suddenly may come, and God's delivering you out of it, but you quit too soon. So today, remember, He's a good God. He wants good things for you. Not just for you, for your enemies. You think, oh, well, it's just God's people. No. He sent. We're only God's people if we know Christ. We're made in His image, but we're only His people if we know Him as Lord and Savior. We are made in His image, and we're supposed to, and He made us that way, but we are only God's children if we know Him as Lord and Savior. But He sent Jonah to Nineveh. Those people were evil, mean, murderers, thieves. They were cruel to the people that they took their land and homes and made the people slaves. They were not nice people at all. And God sent Jonah, get the right J, Jonah to them. And even had Jonah go through what he went through when he said no, getting swallowed by a giant fish, until Jonah prayed and said yes, because that's how much he loved them. He went to the cross for everyone. Your enemies, the Hitlers, no matter what side of the parties you're on, Democrat or Republican, God is a God for everybody if they will just say yes, because he always has his arms and hands open to them. But there will come a day when one will be at the mill, one will be here, and one will go. So today, don't let today go by that you don't make a decision to say yes to Jesus. You don't want to be left here. And you don't want to leave this life without him. Because it can happen that quick. Do you have time to pray? You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, when I get to the end of my life, I'll pray and accept Jesus. I'll just do what I want now. I'll just do what I want now. And then when I get to that point, I'll make that decision. What if you don't have a moment to think? What if you're driving along and you make a turn and somebody runs a red light and boom, you're gone? You never planned that day. We don't plan for that kind of stuff. It happens suddenly. And then your family gets the phone call. But if they know you're in heaven, it says that we grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Because our hope is in Jesus, and we will go to heaven, and we will all be there someday. We have loved ones. A lot of us have loved ones already there. And we'll see him again. That's a hope. If you're missing somebody today, stand on the hope, not on the grief. I have a nephew. We have two nephews there. I don't know. Some of you weren't here when we first started. When we first started here almost 5 years ago, we had only been here, was it like a month maybe? We got voted in November, and this was like in December. And my older sister, Carolyn, her son, Corey, was killed in a car accident. Nobody was expecting that call. When I was in Sacramento, I got the call that my sister, there's three of us, I'm the youngest, she was the middle one, Shirley, got the call that she had a sudden heart attack. You know, I got to Las Banas in time to be in the ER with my mom and everything, but she didn't make it. His brother, that's just younger, 2 years younger than him, David, he was in Iraq and then ended up being in, Pakistan, in a convoy. And there was someone coming with a bomb to blow them up, the convoy. Their Hummer put down the metal to it and took up the gap so they would be killed and not the whole, and he was gone. So you cannot guarantee not one more day. And I'm getting chills because somebody here needs to make a decision today. Stop playing. You may not have another day to play. Today may be your day. Don't pass it up when he's offering you his best. He's not offering you the worst or the barely get by kind of thing. Today is the day to say yes and begin to walk in newness of life. So if we could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't wait another day. You may not have it. There's no guarantee for one more day. Our guarantee is Jesus and the salvation through him and going to heaven. It's a gift sitting at your feet, and you need to open it and take it as your own. It's yours. He's offering you that gift, but you have to open that gift. You have to say yes. He gives you that choice because he didn't create you to be a robot. He wanted you to love him because you want to, not because he makes you. But I want you to know that no matter what your decisions are,
He never stops loving you. He never quits. Father God, right now, I pray that you would touch every person in this room and help every single one of us to get a hunger and a thirst for you and to bring lost souls to the cross. And Father, I pray that every person here who doesn't know you would right now begin to be drawn and have the courage to say yes to you. Yes to your goodness. Yes to your plans. And yes to heaven. If you don't know the Lord or you're not sure where you stand, raise your hand and say yes to Jesus right now. Just raise your hand. Because everybody needs to be sure and have that day where they can look back and say, that's the day I gave my life to Christ. I know there's someone here because the Lord would not have rearranged plans for who was supposed to speak today. He rearranged them for you because he has good plans for you. So make sure today that you don't walk out of this building without saying yes to him. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just know how important you are. And I don't want you to go out that door without having the best. So if you need Jesus, raise your hand. And it doesn't matter if you're 4 or you're 104. God wants you as his child. And we can't be his children unless we know him as Lord and Savior. I won't linger anymore. Now for the rest of us, are you living below what God has for you? I want you to think about it for a minute. Have you been living in hope, in joy? Or have you been in discouragement? We all get there sometimes. There's no shame in that. That's why we come together as God's people to encourage each other. If you need prayer for anything, just raise your hand. Because God hears your heart and he wants you to be encouraged today. So if you need prayer, just raise your hand right now. Okay, I guess nobody needs prayer.